This is our clinical pharmacology laboratory. One of the many things we do here is to look at the blood concentrations of anti-cancer drugs.
I'm Bill Petros. I grew up in Wheeling, West Virginia, in Ohio County. And I am currently the Milan Chair of Pharmacology at West Virginia University. I'm also Associate Director for Anti-Cancer Drug Development at the Mary Babb Randolph Cancer Center at WVU.
53-year-old Bill Petros is one of the few clinical pharmacologists in the United States who does cutting-edge research into new cancer drugs. He also designs early drug trials to investigate why cancer drugs react differently from one person to the next.
Any two people that take a drug, sometimes the concentrations that one person has in their blood, even though they've gotten the same dose as the next person, vary over a 3 to 10-fold range or more. And that variability is important because it can determine why someone gets side effects versus another person doesn't, or why the drug works versus another person that doesn't.
Petros and his research team are learning why people react differently to a drug or combination of drugs, and how effective the drug treatment is. The number one variable is smoking.
Tobacco smoking can affect the body's ability to react to a drug. Sometimes it can accelerate its metabolism, or it could change it in other ways. And so one of the projects that I have going is we're trying to evaluate how a particular anti-cancer drug is affected by smoking.
So if a cancer patient continues to smoke, and some do, they may not be getting the right dose of the drug for their treatment.
So now we can measure down below 1 micromole of erythrocyte.
Yes.
We can see quite well below one micromole,
so we can do our experiments now.
This is Dr. Terry McManus. Terry's a chemist and an analytic chemist. One of the things that we focus on here, as I said, measuring the blood concentrations of anti-cancer drugs. And one of the instruments that Terry's an expert at running is called a LC-MS.
If we're interested in the amount of a certain drug in a blood sample, the HPLC separates the different chemical compounds, including all the drugs, and the mass spectrometer measures them. We know how much, and we know the identity of the compound. So we can tell how quickly the drug is being metabolized by taking samples at different points in time.
Besides tobacco, Petros' lab looks at how body size, age, genetics, or body chemistry can affect how much of an anti-cancer drug a patient should receive. It's all part of the new world of personalized medicine. Bill Petros believes that West Virginia, which draws its patients mostly from the community rather than far away, is uniquely placed to carry out this kind of research. And here at the Mary Babb Randolph Cancer Center, research and treatment take place side by side.
So this is the treatment room for the cancer center. So this is where we administer just about all our drugs that were given to patients to treat their disease. When we do clinical research in patients and we draw blood samples, we almost always obtain them from this area. And that's why we set up our laboratory very close to that area.
Your laboratory is literally across the hall from where the patients are.
Yes. And that's important because just last year we processed over 8,500 samples. Okay, so now we're walking into the biospecimen processing laboratory. So those samples have to pass through this laboratory before they can go anywhere else. And right now we're probably running about 40 to 50 different protocols.
Following several different procedures, often using extremely sophisticated equipment, the research blood samples are studied here in Bill Petros' labs, or by other colleagues at the Health Sciences Center at WVU, or immediately FedExed to fellow research colleagues at other laboratories in the United States and in Europe.
So have we figured out how to optimize the bone marrow samples yet for our joint project?
We aren't exactly sure on what's causing the effect, but we have a plan to try to decipher it out by doing some experiments. So we'll try to initially.
One of the things that will strike you about Bill's work is that he's always thinking a year ahead of several other people.
Laura Gibson, leukemia researcher and deputy director of the Mary Babb Randolph Cancer Center.
For example, a huge wave in terms of personalized medicine. How can we best choose patients and match them to the therapy that's most likely to be impactful for them? And so while we're a relatively small institution compared to many, Bill is really talented in seeing what we have that's unique here, thinking about our populations in a way that he can weave those into cutting-edge science.
How cutting-edge is what Bill does?
One example of how he is doing very contemporary work is a statewide genomics network that he collaborates with a group from Marshall University. He leads our effort here. This is specifically focused on understanding cancer patients in West Virginia at a genetic level and how that precise information can be used to give them best care possible. That's the ultimate outcome of the work that he's helping drive with that group. That's the level of science that really moves an institution forward and moves the health care of a state forward.
For more than a decade, Bill Petros led his own research lab at Duke University Cancer Center, one of the top cancer research centers in the United States. Then, out of the blue, he got a call from West Virginia University.
I wasn't looking to move. I had multiple grants. I had multiple people working in my laboratory. And I asked myself when the call came, do I want to continue what I'm doing for the next 10 or 20 years? And sure, I can make an impact and nationally, et cetera. Or do I want to make that impact and in addition, help the people back home that really were the reason why I got into this in the beginning?
Petros felt a pull back to WVU, where he'd studied pharmacy and where he had first become interested in pharmaceutical research. But the fact that Bill Petros even considered a move from Duke to WVU puzzled many of his colleagues. But he saw new challenges and opportunities back in West Virginia, such as being able to develop early drug trials here. At the time, many people had to go out of state to get that kind of treatment.
We know about 20% of West Virginians actually travel outside the state boundaries to get care, and oftentimes that's because they're looking for a clinical trial that might not be offered in their area of the state. And we're trying to get together people around the state into a clinical trials network right now to be able to do that, and we've made some real inroads into that.
Plus, Petros and his wife Karen, also a research pharmacist and a West Virginian, wanted to raise their children here. So he waited until June 20th, then signed the WVU contract to honor his home state on its birthday.
Growing up in West Virginia is unique in many ways, and this was one of the reasons we moved back, too. I was living in an environment that we had people from all around the country. And you had a hard time sometimes grasping the community spirit. And here, it's vibrant. You can feel that spirit. When you say, where are you from? You talk to people that live out of state, and it's just like saying your nationality. They say they're from West Virginia, even though they might have lived out of state longer than they ever lived here. And I tell people that have been here a long time, you don't know how unique it is to you leaving and then see it from that perspective.
Bill Petros grew up in a modest, middle-class home in the Elm Grove area of Wheeling, West Virginia.
My dad was one of 13 kids. My grandparents were from Lebanon on that side. He worked hard all his life. He would call himself a tire man. My uncles and my grandfather had tire shops in Wheeling. And so he worked for them for a number of years and then kind of branched out on his own and had his own small business and went out and serviced truck tires. Worked extremely hard, typically 7 days a week, and would sometimes take me out. As I got older, I went out and actually had to do the hard work, swinging a sledgehammer, changing tires sometimes in the middle of the night in the snow on Interstate 70, I think for the purpose of making sure that, you know, I was going to do something different with my life than what he had to. My mother grew up in McMeekin, West Virginia, just south of Wheeling, and her mother actually passed away when she was about 12, and so she had to take care of three brothers as well as her dad for a while. And then she graduated from high school and then went to Wheeling Hospital into their nursing program and got her RN there. And so she actually worked for Wheeling Hospital for a number of years, worked in the polio wards actually a lot, and, you know, tells me stories of, you know, back in the days they had to boil their own syringes and make the patients breakfast and dinners and things like that. It was much beyond your typical nurse duties nowadays.
Bill and his sister Mary Ann came along comparatively late in their parents' lives. The Petros' front porch became a gathering place where Bill's dad would entertain neighborhood kids with his jokes. In his younger days, Bill was a bit shy and reserved. He liked camping, fishing, and football.
But if you talk to some of my friends, they would probably vote me as like the person most likely to blow themselves up because I always like chemistry.
I am Bernie Glenn, an insurance agent from Wheeling, West Virginia, and I met Bill in the third grade. Bill would always seem to want to know a little bit more about things, whether it was in school or even out of school. He seemed to always have questions about something that he was interested in.
I'm Joe Palmer from Wheeling, West Virginia. I've known Bill Petros since 1974, my freshman year in high school. He loved his sciences. He loved his chemistry. So, you know, when he had a chance to really try to figure it out, we had a great chemistry teacher our senior year. He was only at Central for 1 year. He was very engaging, and Billy loved it.
I had a very inspiring teacher named Mr. Hockey. He said, "You guys are all on a clean slate to me, and I just want to inspire you. I want to teach you science and let you do it the way you want to." And we spent most of the time in the lab. He directed us in experiments, and he gave us confidence, and he made it learning fun. He made it so fun that, you know, as a freshman at WVU, I did well enough in chemistry that I became a teaching assistant my sophomore year and went back and taught some of his classes, too, in high school.
And it wasn't just school that Bill was interested in.
He liked cars a lot and was very interested in the engines and the power, and he liked music. And
loud music.
Loud
he
music.
Very and, loud and, music in his car.
He liked a lot of power.
He was a great dresser in high school.
He was. I looked to see what he was wearing and try to find out where he bought it from and sneak down there.
And Bill, I think he was even voted best dressed our senior year. He was a nifty dresser.
Bill Petros went on to study pharmacy at West Virginia University, then did a residency in pharmacy in Florida, then a doctor of pharmacy in Philadelphia, where he became interested in cancer and infectious disease. Finally, he decided to do a research fellowship in clinical pharmacology. He founded at St. Jude Children's Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, which had one of the best cancer research fellowships in the nation, perhaps the world.
The mentor that I had there, his name's Bill Evans. And in the pharmacy world, he's like probably the most recognized pharmacy researcher in the clinical area. Was a fantastic mentor. And we were working on these genomic issues before they were even on the page of most people.
Once he finished his research fellowship, Duke University School of Medicine recruited Bill Petros to head up the clinical pharmacology lab in their cancer center. Friends Bernie Glenn and Joe Palmer.
Watching his career, I guess what I'm most proud of is that he would come back to West Virginia to do this. And I think that he just cares so much about the school, the state. He's very proud of who he is and where he came from. He left a very good position at Duke University. It didn't leave easily, but his heart was in Morgantown, West Virginia.
I don't even think the money was a factor. It was being able to come back home and raise his kids back here and educate him back here and be home.
The environment here between the basic scientists and the clinicians is very unique, and they love working with each other and they love listening to each other. I've been at many places around the country and during my training and work, and it's very unique, I think, and it's reflective of West Virginia. The other side of that is a sense of belonging and a sense of being from a unique place. The stamp that West Virginia puts on you and the picture you have of the state in your mind. Maybe it was, you know, growing up and looking out the window and always seeing a mountain. Or the way the sun sets, the way the sun comes up, the way, you know, the shadows are. It's just something that gets instilled in your mind. I never felt like I was home until I came back.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jean Snedeker.